Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
There was a time in Australian society when it was assumed that girls would grow up to be either nurses, teachers, secretaries, or mums, mostly. All absolutely crucial roles, of course. Where would we all be without them? But there weren't many options a few decades ago for young women bursting with leadership potential. Well, times have changed, mostly. More and more, women are taking up leading roles in industry, education, politics, in the church, and in the corporate world. Dr. Jacqueline Gray is one of them. She's the Academic Dean of Alpha Crucis College in Sydney. She's one of the editors of a book called Raising Women Leaders. She says it's all about encouraging women to fulfil their God-given potential for leadership. And Jackie's with me in the studio now. Welcome to Open House.
Thank you, Lee.
Thanks very much for coming in. A bit about you first. You're Dean of a Bible college. You spent a lot of time mentoring up-and-coming women leaders. You have a PhD. What was your specialisation?
My specialisation is actually in Old Testament studies.
Okay. Given your Bible knowledge then, perhaps we should start with a biblical foundation, as you put it, for women in leadership. First, society was quite a different thing in Bible times, wasn't it, when it came to women's roles?
Definitely, and particularly in the Old Testament as well, a very different culture to what we have today. And so when we're reading the Old Testament, it's really important that we keep that in mind.
How would you describe or categorise the role of women in Old and New Testament?
Women very much were part of the community, but particularly emphasised in the household. We see that in the Old Testament and in the New Testament as well. So they had often very important roles within managing the household, with looking after often the economy of the household, so an important economic function within that. And it changed so much throughout, even the Old Testament history that begins very nomadic society and then goes towards a tribal confederacy, towards a kingdom. So the lifestyle changed so much, and obviously men and women's roles changed a lot in
yes.
that time as well.
Was it unthinkable that a woman would take on any work outside that domestic kind of sphere?
It generally, women didn't, but we have some examples at various different times of women who showed extraordinary gifts and abilities and took on roles that often were outside the domain that of the domestic role of what women normally would have. Mm. So we have examples like Deborah, who was a judge, who was a prophetess and led in a military campaign along with Barak, her colleague, so to speak, in actually winning a great victory for the ancient Israelites. And so very much living and operating in what would have been the domain of men at that time.
Let's talk, race through to the New Testament, talk about Jesus and his treatment of women. He, of course, subverted lots of cultural norms, and that included how to deal with women in that culture.
Definitely. One of the great things I love about reading the New Testament and reading about Jesus is that he wasn't about trying to actually overthrow the social structures necessarily. He was about bringing change and ushering in the kingdom of God. And, of course, the kingdom of God brings all sorts of implications for the social world. And he demonstrated that just in his very life and how he operated, how he treated women. When there were women who wanted to learn, he encouraged them to sit at his feet and learn, which wasn't normally the posture of women or the role of women. But yet he encouraged them because for him it wasn't about operating in our social domain, but actually being and obedient, hearing the word of God and being obedient to it.
And it was revealing that in God's great kind of sovereignty, it was women who were the testimony of Jesus' resurrection.
Absolutely.
And that was a very unusual thing to regard the testimony of women as anything at all, really.
Absolutely. The first testifiers or witnesses of the resurrection were women, which in Jewish law could not be necessarily considered to be reliable witnesses, but yet Jesus witnesses to them, and they were the first to make that great proclamation of the resurrection of Christ.
Yeah. You may have some thoughts on this. We're with Dr. Jacqueline Gray on women in leadership. Whether it's in our culture, in business, in church in particular, which is the context in which we're conducting this conversation. You can join us on 1300 40 2020 or post your thoughts or your experiences on our Open House Community Facebook page tonight. Some of the other New Testament examples of women taking leadership, what are some of those, Jackie?
Oh, one of the great examples that I love is Priscilla. So she, along with her husband Aquila, was originally in Rome and eventually went to Ephesus. And the New Testament describes, and they actually name Priscilla first in the, when they talk about the couple, but Priscilla and Aquila were involved in teaching Apollos and had a great ministry in the church at Ephesus, which, interestingly enough, was the same church where Timothy was writing, where Paul admonished about women not teaching. Yes. But yet that was the very place where Priscilla was active. And I think she's just a great example of a woman working in partnership with her husband and seeing the kingdom of God and the early church established and flourishing.
Suzanne has written on our Facebook page, "Thanks for the encouragement of hearing about women in leadership as I struggle through another essay." Great listening. Keep up with it, Suzanne. I know you'll get there. There is tension, though, we have to say, in Christian circles between the biblical idea of women submitting to male leadership or headship, the whole notion of submission, and the teaching that we're all gifted, male and female, to do any roles, which may include leadership. How do you marry those? I know you've done a lot of thinking, marrying those two seemingly conflicting ideas.
Yeah, I guess talking about the role of Jesus and particularly his teaching, we see that he very much emphasized that leadership was all about serving. So he turns on its head the whole concept of what leadership is. It's not about power or hierarchy or even about necessarily having authority over other people, but about serving and ministering. And I think that needs to be the foundation when we're talking about that and keeping that high, very uppermost in our minds. But when we look then at passages like in Ephesians, when it talks about submitting, particularly wives submitting to husband, we see that whole passage is grounded in how to live the Spirit-filled life and how should the church operate, and particularly how should households operate. And we see that the wives submitting to husbands all hinges on that previous sentence where it talks about submitting to one another, and I think that's a really crucial. We often overlook that when we talk about the submission.
Although Paul, the Apostle Paul, talks in terms of headship, doesn't he?
He does, yes, in other passages as well. And so again, it was a culture that was struggling in how to live out the ideals of the gospel, and Paul's very much has at the front of his discussion about the proclamation of the gospel. And if proclamation of the gospel means putting aside your personal liberties, which essentially is what he says to the women of Corinth, if that means that you need to wear your head covering so that the church will be not dishonored and that the gospel would not be dishonored, then you need to put aside your personal liberties for the sake of the proclamation of the gospel.
To those who would say in church leadership or a denominational hierarchy that there are certain positions that should not be for the preserve of women, and it gets down to whether they preach or whether they lead churches, what would you say to that?
I guess that I would emphasise within the New Testament the orientation towards spirit gifting, orientation towards allowing all people to live their full potential. And I recognise and respect the different traditions that have alternative views on that. But again, to me, the emphasis is on the spirit gifting men and women and allowing people from all race, all backgrounds, including male and female, to be able to live to their full potential as the Spirit gives them.
For those uninitiated in the faith, can you flesh out that idea of how the Spirit works to fulfil that, for that matter, in men and or women?
Yeah, so it's that idea that each person has been gifted with different abilities, with different talents, and we see that naturally, how people have different orientations towards different professions and are good at different things. But what we see in the birth of the church in Acts chapter 2 at the day of Pentecost, the Spirit is given to empower the church, and that empowerment, again, is for the proclamation of the gospel, and the emphasis within that is that there will be different gifts given to people to be able to fulfill their role and to be able to advance the church. And so whether that might be gifts in management, gifts in teaching, gifts in wisdom, there's all sorts of different gifts that are available for people.
If you'd like to join us for this discussion, our open house line is 1300 40 20 20, or you can post on our Open House Community Facebook page, which now has 518 likers, and it's continuing to grow. It's quite an obsession now. We've started something here. Jackie, as you've proclaimed these kind of ideas and worked them through, what's been the varying reactions that you've had in your academic life?
Oh, there's been all sorts of reactions that people have, particularly to me when I speak. Sometimes people have been very encouraged that there's a woman standing speaking to them. Other times there've been people who've been unsure, haven't quite known what to make of it, and others who have chosen not to listen, and some even vocally objecting to some presentations that I've made because I was a female. But generally, I think that most people, when they hear a female speak clearly and articulately on a particular issue, then they're very willing to hear that, just as they are to hear a man, or whether that's a young person or an older person.
Jackie, thanks very much indeed for coming in and joining us on Open House. It's been good to talk.
Thanks, Lee.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.